Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the devices and desires of our hearts. We have offended against your holy law. We have done those things which we should not have done, and we have not done those things which we should have done. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Spare us and restore us, according to the promises you have prepared to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. For His sake, grant that we may live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name.
The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, the first chapter, beginning at verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. This is the word of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of God's word to which we draw our attention is the reading from Philippians that we heard. A portion of that reading, listen again to these verses. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I shall live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Thus far the text. Now the majority of you, I think it's probably safe to assume, have never been incarcerated in prison. I haven't either, but I've had the opportunity to visit many jails and prisons and juvenile detention centers and the like. Life on the inside is quite different from the outside, the life that we know here. There's always someone telling you what to do. There's someone telling you when to sleep and how to dress and the hours that you have to keep for this and that. It's a very regulated life. Everything is decided by someone else. Now today we hear from a man who did have that experience of being in prison a number of times. And in fact, when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in prison in Rome. When he had been in Philippi the first time preaching the gospel, he was in prison. Philippian church had been very good to Paul. They had continued to send him support as he carried out his mission work. And there were really no serious problems in the church there as there were in some of the other churches that Paul wrote to. He doesn't have anything but praise and thanks for the Philippian Christians. But Paul himself was in a dilemma. He was in prison. He didn't know his eventual fate. This whole mess had started because of his preaching, and it may end up that it was going to end because of his preaching. And so Paul struggles inside of himself with those two alternatives, that dilemma that he has, the life or death dilemma. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ." He wanted to live physically so that he could continue to do the work of spreading Christ's word. "If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor," he said. Now, Paul knew that whatever results would come about from his labors weren't to his credit. He knew that it was God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, working within him to bring about any kind of results. He knew that there was nothing inherently good in himself because he knew that he was a sinner. As he wrote to the Roman Christians, "For instead of doing what I want to do, I do what I hate." And in this same letter to the Philippians in chapter 2, he says, "It is God who continues to work in you, both to be willing and to be doing whatever pleases him." Paul knew he was a sinner. He knew that he could only do fruitful work, that he could gain results through Christ. And it was because of Christ and his work that Paul wanted to live longer. He wanted to tell other people about the forgiveness of sins that Christ offered them. He says in verse 24, "To remain in the flesh is more needful for you." The whole point of Paul's preaching wasn't to build himself up, to make himself look important. He wanted to show Christ. He wanted to show and preach Christ alone and gain believers, gain fruit in that way for him. This was needful, or it was necessary for Paul. He felt so strongly about continuing his work. Can the same thing be said about us? Do we feel that compulsion to preach the gospel like St. Paul did? Regardless, just as Paul wanted to live physically so he could continue to carry out Christ's work, we too, as we live, carry out Christ's work. We have that task of spreading the gospel, of proclaiming that good news of Christ's love and forgiveness to as many as we can. That's what Jesus gave us, why he gave us the Great Commission. "Go, therefore, and make disciples." And he ends up by saying, "teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Now, granted, we don't go about this work normally in the same way that St. Paul did. We're probably not going to travel around the known world establishing churches here and there. We can spread the love of God, that message of good news in so many ways, by speaking to our friends about why we have an unshakable hope in the midst of all of the chaos around us, by inviting someone to worship, to hear God's word, by giving someone a word of encouragement when they're down. After all, Christ is the reason that we're alive. Not just that he paid for our sins by dying for us, by shedding his blood, but that Christ is our motivation. Our goal is to show Christ in everything we do. When we speak, our words should reflect Christ. When we work, our actions are to promote Christ. When we think, our thoughts are to center on Christ. To live is Christ. Now, that's one alternative that Paul faced in this dilemma, living and continuing to serve his Savior. The other alternative, although it sounds relatively harsh, really wasn't. To die is gain. Now, when we think about death, many times we think of it as a blatant expression of our mortality, that it's our end. Paul didn't see it that way. He says, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." For Paul, this was the great reward, heaven itself. Paul knew that if he were killed, if he did die, which at this point in his life was a possibility, he would be in heaven immediately. And of course, that same reward awaits us. As Christians, we can also say with Paul, to die is gain. That is our ultimate happiness. Are you, right now, or have you ever been, completely and utterly happy? Or even mostly satisfied with your life? Have you ever had a time in your life when there were no worries about how your bills were going to be paid? No cares about what other people think of you? No squabbles between family members or roommates? No anger welling up inside of you? No resentment towards someone else showing its ugly face? Have you ever been entirely happy? Now, if you're human, and if you have a conscience, you would have to say no. But we know that we have an infinitely better place awaiting us. Heaven is going to be so much of a gain that we really can't begin to imagine it or can't begin to describe it. Even when we read the incredibly comforting words of Revelation 21:4, "God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall be no longer any mourning or crying or pain." Even when we read and believe those words, we still can't imagine how incredible heaven's going to be. You see, on this earth, we have sin. We have sin within ourselves. We have sin all around us. And ultimately, sin causes death. It causes suffering. It causes pain. But in heaven, there is no sin. And so there is no death. There is no suffering. There is no pain. Nothing that's bad. Indeed, this world in which we live is not perfect. It's far from it. There's so much hurt out there, even in our own lives, in the lives of those we know. There are many people who feel that their lives are so bad, they're filled with so much pain and suffering that things are never going to get better. They really don't have any hope. But as Christians, we know that no matter what we encounter, no matter what it is that comes into our path, no matter how bad things seem to get, we always have something to fall back on. As Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We can't lose. As Paul did, we live Christ. We are filled with the joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven because he, Jesus, took them away for us. And our joy is going to be even greater when we die, when we get to go to heaven. Use this joy to lift yourself up and to lift up others. Amen. for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. Abide with us and with your whole church. Abide with us in the end of the day, in the end of our life, and in the end of the world. Abide with us with your grace and goodness, with your holy word and sacrament, with your strength and blessing. Abide with us when the night of affliction and temptation comes upon us, the night of fear and despair when death shall come. Abide with us and with all the faithful through time and eternity.